Mark chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Watch. The Son of Man is like a man that's going on a long journey. While he's gone, he gives authority to his servants to carry on his work. That describes us. That's us. Jesus left this earth for heaven, but he sent his Spirit to comfort us, to lead us. He is coming back. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. Not even the angels know, but we know it soon from all the signs that are going on in the world. But until he comes, he's left us with authority to carry on his work. Everybody say, he's given us authority. And that's what we're going to look at here tonight, our authority as a Christian. Our authority as a Christian. God bless you. You may be seated. We have to realize this, that we've been given authority. How many Christians don't even know that, don't even understand that? They don't realize the authority they have, and since they don't know they have authority, they're not using that authority. And they're not living in victory. They're not overcoming the things of sin and the things of the world. They're not doing the things that God has called them to do, because they don't understand the authority that they've been given to carry on the work of Jesus Christ. It's time that the church realizes that God has given us great authority. He's not physically here in human flesh as Jesus Christ, but his Spirit is working in us. And what he does in this world today, he does through men and women and young people and even children who have been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And they understand the authority that God has given them, and they operate in that authority. They don't let the enemy run roughshod over them, and they don't let sin defeat them, and they don't put up with sickness and disease and depression and anxiety and spiritual attacks. They exercise the authority that God has given them. Now, this type of preaching, it kind of makes people nervous, because they say, oh, you know, let's not get too far out there into spiritual stuff. Let's keep it where we can understand it and you know, where we can figure it out with our brains. And what they really mean is they want to keep church where we can control it. But God's true church will not always walk in places where we understand everything he does. And God's true church will not, certainly not, be controlled by man. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's God's church. It's the Lord's church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And we have a choice to make. Are we going to get with God's program and use the authority he's given us to be his church? Or will we become like thousands of other churches who have shied away from the works of the Holy Ghost? And now they're full of deadness and dullness and dryness. Oh no, give me the moving of the Spirit of God. We want to experience the glory of God's presence, his power, his Spirit, his miracles, the signs and wonders that he will do. Oh, I'm hungry for a supernatural move of the power of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have the moving of his Spirit. Hallelujah. I believe tonight that somebody here is going to start walking in authority. From this point on, something is going to shift in your thinking. It's going to change the way that you see things, the way you respond to situations around you. It's going to change the way you talk. It's going to change the way you pray, the way you deal with people, because you're going to get hold of the fact that we have authority through Jesus Christ. Everybody say, we have authority. I love the book of Acts. If we had to choose one book of the Bible to have, of course, we should love the entire Bible, but if we had to choose just one book, here's why I believe it should be the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, we have the record of the Bible church. The 28 chapters of the book of Acts show us what the church looked like when it was fresh from its birth. And what the 28 chapters of the book of Acts look like is what the church should look like in every generation. What the book of Acts tells us the church was like then is what the church should be today. Every church. If somebody reads the book of Acts and none of those things that happen in the book of Acts are happening in their church, then they need to start praying about finding a church that believes what the first church believed. Those same things that happened then ought to be happening today. We ought to have the power of the supernatural. Amen. We ought to look like and act like and talk like and pray like and worship like they did in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Amen. When we read those 28 chapters, it shouldn't be something that's science fiction to us, but that should be something, hey, I've seen that happen. Oh, I'm praying for that. I'm believing for that. Yes, I believe it. Hallelujah. There are some people, some very religious people, who say the book of Acts was just for back then. What good does that do us today? If miracles only happened back then what in the world are we supposed to be believing for today? If the Holy Ghost was just for back then what good does that do for us here in this generation? If the gifts of the Spirit were only for the apostles, then what has God's church become today? I tell you what many churches have become. They've only become a religion, a denomination, a social club. But the world is sick of dead and empty religion. People are looking for something that's real. They're looking for something that's alive. They're looking for the supernatural. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. That's what the church needs. That's what we need today. If it was good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. I want to have a book of Acts church. I want to see revival like they did in the Bible. I want to experience everything that God has for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know if we need to get crazy and start running the aisles. Amen. But I read about a man who couldn't walk. Peter and John said, hey, I want to tell you about something. I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And if you read, it says they went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. It ought to happen today. It ought to happen in this place. Hallelujah. Give me the book of Acts revival. The book of Acts is a picture of people in God's church who are filled with this power. They went out into the world. They used the authority that God had given them. Thousands were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Miracles took place. Demons were cast out. Whole cities were turned upside down. Prison doors were opened. People got a revelation of who Jesus really is. And that's what the church should look like today. But we've got to realize the authority that Jesus has given us. And we've got to step out in faith and start using it. The authority of the book of Acts church is found in a certain word. It wasn't in how many religious books they had read. It wasn't in how long they'd gone to Bible college. It wasn't because they were given a ministerial license. Those things might be good, but we get it wrong when we think, well, I can't operate in spiritual authority because I don't have those things. No, the authority in the book of Acts, church, is found in a certain word. It's in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. There's no other name like it. There never has been and never will be another. Is anybody thankful for the name of Jesus Christ? Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, it's not just a way of salvation. No, the name of Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no salvation in any other name. It's in the name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But there's only one name that has that kind of power. It's the name of Jesus Christ. There's something about when you sing that name. There's something about when you worship that name. There's something about when we call on that name. There's something about when you speak faith in the name of Jesus. It's not an ordinary name. There's nothing like it. Oh, I'm thankful in the time of need, I can call on that name. I'm thankful in a time of worship, I can lift up that name. I'm thankful that I know the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. During the COVID fiasco, I mean, I guess that's kind of how you describe it. It was a fiasco. It was something. The city of Springfield invited all the churches to come together in a weekly video call online to discuss our community and how to move through the pandemic. And I joined in on a few of the meetings, but it quickly became apparent that there wasn't much common ground between us and the people who were on those calls. When they started having homosexual pastors say the prayers and voices from the Muslim community, and I was like, okay, I'm out. This is not my group. Today, this group has evolved into something called the Ozarks Festival of Faiths, including the American Indian worship, Hindu, Mormon, pagan, Buddhist, and Christian churches. They have a celebration bringing people together of all different faith groups around our common virtues, is what they say. At this festival, they have an interfaith choir. If you can imagine that. I mean, you have to be, I don't know how you figure out a song to sing that satisfies all those groups. A representative came recently to a meeting I was in and appealed for us to be involved. They talked about how this representative, they're a Christian, they're Mormon. My Bible says, anybody that comes to you and says there's another gospel, let them be accursed. So this person was talking, well, I'm a Christian, you know, just like you. And I'm thinking, no. But they said, you know, we can learn a lot from these other faiths about God. And I thought, no, you're getting further and further away from the truth here. And they talked about how, well, you can visit, you know, with our Hindu friends or our Buddhist friends, and we can learn a lot about how to pray and how to seek the Lord. Rest assured, we are not planning to participate in this as a church, okay? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is not just one way or a way to heaven. No, it is the way. It is the only way. I'm thankful we know the power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the miracles that happen in the book of Acts, it happened in the name of Jesus. All the people healed, all the people delivered, all those set free, all those transformed, brought back to life. The one thing that was common in every single miracle, it was the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many people today are sitting in so-called Christian churches who have never proclaimed the name of Jesus in their prayers? They've never prayed against sickness in Jesus' name. They've never spoken a word of faith over their family in the name of Jesus. They've never called on Jesus' name in the time of trouble. They've never pushed back against the forces of darkness that were surrounding their kids, their marriage, their home in Jesus' name. How sad that people don't know the authority that is in the name of Jesus. This should not be a secret. This should not be a secret. We all should operate in this authority. We shouldn't sit back and just let the enemy run over us when we've got the authority to stand up to the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray the Holy Ghost would reveal this to all the world, the power that's in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let there be a revival of that name. The Azusa Street revival swept the world, and the power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There were many religious groups that came in and came out of that revival. But I truly believe today that the next great spiritual awakening is going before the end time, or here in the end time, will be a revelation of the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism in the name of Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus. Healing the sick in the name of Jesus. Walking by faith in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's what this church is going to do. And whatever we do, it's going to be in the name of Jesus. And let's not keep it a secret, but there's people, they're looking for this power. They're looking for this answer. They're looking for help. They're desperate for something that's real. They need to know the authority that's in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every other name. Somebody worship that name right now. Come on, somebody lift up that name. Somebody magnify that name. It's higher than any other. Oh, I glorify your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus began to speak about the power in his name when he faced the cross. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus turned to him and said, Philip, have I spent all this time with you, and yet still you don't know me? If you've seen me, he says, you've seen the Father. Jesus was teaching them who he was. John 14:11. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. If we could just do the works of Jesus. But he said there's going to be believers that will do greater works than he did. It's because of where our authority comes from. The name. The name. Whatever we ask in his name, he will do. He repeats it again a second time. If we ask anything in his name, he will do it. I don't want to be guilty of not asking for great things in his name. Oh, come on. If somebody's sick in their body, have you asked for healing in the name of Jesus? If you've got troubles on your job, have you asked God to give you a better job in the name of Jesus? If somebody in your family's lost, or you want to see your neighborhood saved, or revival in your school, have you asked for it in the name of Jesus? We'd better not be guilty of letting that authority be dormant in our life and unused. Somebody needs a miracle, and we have the power to see it happen. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Surely I don't have to take time to explain that that's accidentally if those things happen. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Believers are going to do these things in his name. Now, notice it didn't say, well, you got to be saved in the church for 10 years. Only those believers. It didn't say, well, it's got to be, you got to be believers that are tall. Or it didn't say, you got to have brown hair. It's not a certain type of believer, but every believer has this authority. That means that the newest believer in the church, they've got authority. Our kids are downstairs. I'm looking for kids. Our kids are downstairs. But that means the littlest believer in our church has authority. In fact, they might have more authority than we have because they just take God for his word. They just pray and believe it's going to come to pass. If we know the authority in the name, we can demonstrate that authority. We can look the enemy in the eye and say, in the name of Jesus, you take your sickness, you take your heartache, you take your poverty, you take your attacks. You get out of my life in the name of Jesus. This is not just for the preacher. This is not just for the pastor's wife. Jesus said believers. Amen. That's the housewife, that's retired people, that's little children, that's the lawyer, that's young people. Oh, how exciting to know that you are anointed by God. You've been called for a purpose, and he's given you authority to go with that purpose. He has enabled you to do what he's called you to do. We've got power in his name. We've got power in the name of Jesus. I believe today that this is something that has transformed our church and will continue when believers, people in the church, but realize that we have authority, that we have power and ability. It's not just the pastor. Come on, it's not just the praise team. It's not just the ministers, but every single one of us have authority. And then believers go out and use that authority. They lay hands on the sick. They pray for people who are hurting. And God is moving and people are coming because they're hungry. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you, it's changing our church. It's transforming us. And I believe it's going to change this city and the entire world. People are tired of dead religion. They're sick of normal old-time denominations. They want to rise up in the power of God and see miracles and signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Let me go through the book of Acts just a little bit. Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come up, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Look how that power fell. Acts 2 and 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now Luke writes that this was noisy, and everybody around heard it. They came to check out what was going on. If you think we're noisy around here, you should have been there on the day of Pentecost. The church started with a mighty sound from heaven. Amen. Church shouldn't be compared to going to a funeral. One of the most quiet places there is a cemetery full of dead people. That shouldn't be what church is like. In the book of Acts, church, there was a sound from heaven. Oh, there was a sound from heaven as the Holy Ghost fell and they spoke with tongues. There was something that got people's attention. And Peter gets up to preach the first sermon of the New Testament church. Thousands of people were gathered around. They thought they were crazy. They thought these people got to be drunk. But Peter preaches Jesus Christ to them, and then conviction gets a hold of their heart. Look at Acts 2:37, what happened. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What do we do? Peter told us, repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Today we're not preaching any other name. We're not preaching Brian McCoy's name. We're not preaching your name. Come on, we're not telling people, well, this is Pastor McCoy's church, or this is who so-and-so's church. No, we better be preaching the name of Jesus. It's his church. It's his church. He died for it. He bled for it. He paid the price for it. We preach Jesus here. Amen. Read all through the book of Acts. It continued. Peter and John, I've already said it. They go to the temple to pray. There's a lame man there. He looks, asks for a handout. Peter says, I don't have anything to give you, but I do have something. Something better than anything else. What is it? He had a name, not just any name, but the name of Jesus. It had power behind it. And the man stood up at the name of Jesus. They go into the temple, and it was that name that made the difference in that man's life. What are we talking about with people around us? What are we discussing? What kind of discussions are we having with our friends, with our coworkers, with people we meet around town? We need to talk about the only thing that's going to save them from their situation. It's the name of Jesus. We need to stop talking about what denomination of church we go to. You know, we're Pentecostal, or this one's Baptist, or that one's Catholic. The name of our denomination does not scare our enemy. But Philippians 2 and 10 declares that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're Baptist. Oh, you're Catholic. Well, have you heard about the name of Jesus? Did you know we can pray in that name and God's power is behind it? And before long, they're not worried about denominations. They're not worried about the name of the church. They just want more of Jesus. They just want more of his power. They just want more of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Pastor, I don't know what we're doing on a Wednesday night. This kind of makes me nervous. This makes me uncomfortable. Oh, well, you better get ready. There's going to be more of it. We've got to have the power of Jesus Christ. We've got to have the power of the Spirit. We've got to see miracles and signs and wonders. The religious leaders got mad. They got mad about what had happened there, the lame man. It caused quite a stir, and so they bring Peter and John in, and Acts 4 and 7 says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. By what name have you done this? It wasn't the latest medical breakthrough. It wasn't a new home remedy. It wasn't the power of positive thinking. It was at the name of Jesus Christ. That's what transformed that lame man. Well, they got even more angry. They commanded that they should not preach in this name. Isn't it something? They feared the name of Jesus more than anything else. It's the same thing in our world today. Why can't we talk about Jesus at our school assemblies? Why can't we pray in the name of Jesus at government functions? Why do interfaith groups say their prayers in some kind of name of some vague god that could be anything, including Satan? Because the devil knows the power of that name. They don't ban other names. Why the name of Jesus? Why does this world curse with the name of Jesus but not any other name? They've got all kinds of curses taking the name of Jesus, but there's none taking the name of Buddha or Muhammad or any other religious name. Why does Hollywood hate that name? Movies, television, why do people curse in that name? Because it's the name with authority. That's the only name. And this world knows what's powerful. If this world knows it, shouldn't the church rise up and say, we're going to take hold of the power of the name. We're going to operate in the authority that God has given us. They threw the apostles in prison because of their preaching. The angel of the Lord opens up the door and takes them out of prison. They go out preaching again. They bring them in. Acts 5:28, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Later on, it says they beat the apostles. They let them go, commanding them not to speak in the name of Jesus. But they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Acts 5:42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Every day we need to be talking about Jesus. It's the name that has power. It's the name that says to the enemy, you've been defeated. You have to flee. It's the name that says to sickness, I paid the price for your healing. It's the name that says to fear and the powers of darkness, you must go. The name of Jesus works miracles. It sets us free. It gives peace in a troubled storm. Somebody call on that name right now. Oh, Jesus, let your power work. Let your spirit work. Let your spirit move. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me right now? Let's magnify that name. Lord, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Oh, there's no name like your name. There's no name like your name. I praise the name of Jesus. I worship the name of Jesus. I glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Lord, we need your power. We need that authority that's in your name. We need a move of the power of the name of Jesus. Lord, fill our hearts, God. Fill our minds, Jesus. Transform us. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In conclusion tonight, we're talking about our authority as Christians. That means we've been born again, baptized in his name, filled with the Spirit, and we have a relationship with him. There are some who don't really have a relationship with God, but they try to use the power of that name. Luke writes about some who they would go around trying to cast out evil spirits by saying to them, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Amen. They knew of the name of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. Amen. They hadn't been given the authority of that name. Acts 19 and 14. "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Who are you?" "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of Jesus was," the Lord Jesus, "was magnified." We want the name of Jesus to be magnified, to be lifted up. Hallelujah. Let's get the name of Jesus shining brightly in this city. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it needs to be shining in every school, in every place of business, in every area of town. The name of Jesus can change the course of our life, of our marriage, of our home, of our entire city. Maybe you've had this experience. There's been several times where I was in a situation and there was a car accident that was inevitable. There was no way that the car was going to stop in time. Someone swerved at the wrong moment, or somebody was about to hit us or whatever. Several times it was like in an instant there could have been a horrible accident. And at that moment I didn't have time to pray about the situation, a long-winded prayer. In fact, I didn't even know how to pray because it happened so fast. I didn't know what needed to happen. But I knew a name. Hallelujah. A name that's above every other name. And all I could say was, "Jesus, Jesus." Tonight, you might have something going on in your life and you don't even know what to pray. You don't even know what to ask God for. You don't even know what the answer is for your situation. But you know a name. You know a name. And there's authority in that name, and there's power in that name. And if you'll pray in that name, if you'll call in that name, there's healing. If you'll ask in that name, God will do it. The prophet Joel said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Hallelujah. I invite you to come to this altar tonight, and whatever your need, whatever your circumstance, whatever you're facing here tonight, I just invite you to call on the name of Jesus. Come on, would you call on that name that's above every other name? Would you call on that name that every knee is going to bow to that name? Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Oh, come on, would you lift up that name? Would you magnify that name of Jesus? Oh, Jesus, I need you here tonight. Jesus, work in my life. Jesus, make a way in me. Jesus, deliver me. Jesus, heal my body. Jesus, touch my mind. Jesus, save my family. Jesus, I need you.